Hello and welcome back to Catching Up on Capitol Hill, a series in which we discuss the latest in tax legislation and in tax policy. I'm your host, John Gimigliano.
Well, we are back after our August recess, and so is Congress. And as we feared, a government shutdown remains a possibility unless Republicans and Democrats can hammer out a long or at least a short-term funding deal in the next week. But a funny thing happened on the way to the shutdown. Washington is suddenly all abuzz with something else. What is it? Well, it's a tax proposal, a proposal from a freshman senator who is not even a member of the Tax Writing Senate Finance Committee. That doesn't happen very often. So you might be asking, what are we talking about? Well, we are talking about the HIRE Act, an anti-outsourcing bill introduced by Senator Bernie Moreno of Ohio. Now, my phone will not stop ringing with folks asking about this bill. What is it? Might it pass? Why would they do this? All very good questions. And we're going to try and answer them today. To help me do that, we are joined by our friends, Jen Acuna and Dan Winnick.
In this conversation, Dan, let's start with the very basic one. What exactly is the HIRE Act? What does it do?
So the HIRE Act, Halting International Relocation of Employment Act, would impose a 25% excise tax on payments for outsourced services. So broadly speaking, payments by a U.S. person to a foreign person for services to customers in the United States. So it has a very broad applicability, and that excise tax would be non-deductible. So it's such a strong disincentive that it's intended not to raise revenue, but really to change behavior. And then it also would take the money raised from the tax and put it in a trust fund that could be used to pay for worker training and other sort of expenses to help workers displaced by outsourcing.
So that is a nasty tax. And you raised the question, would it actually raise anything? It sort of raised that age-old question, Dan, like, what is the point of some of these tax increases? I'm thinking of things like a carbon tax or the stock buyback excise tax. Are they designed to prevent the activity or just to raise the maximum amount of revenue from that activity? And it sounds like you're saying here, if this were to pass as is, it would be such a strong disincentive that you may just simply see the end of outsourcing. Is that your view?
Well, it's such a strong disincentive, and the bill really raises a lot of questions about what payments are covered, both who's making the payments and who's receiving the payments. And so any payment that's actually covered, companies would have a very strong incentive not to pay this tax. It would make those activities uneconomic in many cases.
Just as an aside, your thoughts on how broadly this applies? This isn't just a small, narrow sector where, you know, tech or something. There's a lot of outsourcing that a lot of companies do across a lot of activities. Fair to say?
Lots of activities in the economy have some foreign service that's included and would potentially be picked up by this proposal.
Right. It could hit across multiple industries, multiple sectors, et cetera. Okay. All right, Jen, my question then for you is, now that we're all terrified of this, thank you, Dan, should we be taking this proposal seriously?
It's kind of a loaded question. Because we've seen bills like this before that kind of temper the excitement or dread about this provision. It was introduced by Senator Moreno, who is a freshman senator. So he's not been around that long. It's his first Congress. And he is not on the Tax Writing Committee. He's not a member of the Senate Finance Committee. Those are the tax policy drafters. They hold the pen in tax policy for the Senate. By definition, taxes in their jurisdiction. So if it had been released by a Senate Finance Committee member, I would say its widespread panic is in order, totally acceptable to be panicking. However, because it's a junior senator, it is not a member of the Senate Finance Committee. This one happens to be on the radar, but we get a lot of bills coming out of the Senate. There are 100 members of the Senate. They release bills on a regular basis. So I don't panic about it. What I will say, though, is that you cannot ignore it. For the reasons that Dan mentioned and that you mentioned, John, this is very thematic, right? It's intended to curb a very specific activity, which is the outsourcing of U.S. jobs. You cannot ignore that. That is very thematic with the current administration. We have seen other policies that target this type of behavior that have had political success, that have survived tax bills. So certainly cannot be ignored. Is it time to panic? No, it is certainly not time to panic. There is no live bill that's moving now, a tax bill that's moving through Congress. So it's certainly not time to panic, but it is time for one thing, and that is providing feedback to A, that member's office that introduced it, so Senator Moreno's office, and two, to the tax writing committee. They need to understand tax bills that could be out there that have been introduced by members of the Senate. They need the feedback on that because they are the tax policy leaders in the Senate.
But it is time to lobby. I think that's what you're saying, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Jen, you can drop your Venmo for all of K Street in the comments later. They can all Venmo you for that tip. But I agree with you. This is the time. How many times have we seen over the years where Congress passes something and people are like, how dare you? And then Congress says, well, where were you 6 months ago? We put a bill out. Everybody was talking about it, but you didn't come see me, right? I mean, you were there. You lived that. Isn't that a fair?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We saw that with Section 899. That bill was introduced, the two bills, they were companion bills, introduced in 2023. And now we're revisited at the beginning of this Congress for inclusion in the reconciliation bill. So you certainly see these things. Don't have to panic, but certainly cannot forget that it happened.
899 is such a good cautionary tale here. I'm glad you mentioned that because that's the retaliatory tax related to Pillar 2. We were talking about it, and a lot of people said, oh, that's crazy talk. That will never happen. We're not even thinking about it. It's not on our radar until suddenly it was. And then it was a last minute absolute blind panic as people lobbied against it and successfully, temporarily anyway, were able to get it removed from the bill. But they, and mind you, waited too long to do that. So it's a good example, Jen.
That was a white knuckle fight. Okay. I mean, that was at the last second there was relief provided on 899, but that will not always be the case.
True. Maybe not even with 899. So we'll have to see. That's probably another episode coming, but we'll come back to that. All right, Dan. So you told us what it is. Now, will you tell us why it is? What's the point here? What do you think that Senator Moreno is trying to do here?
As Jen said, this is speaking to the theme of the location of U.S. jobs, but it's also functionally like a tariff on services. So tariffs have been an important part of the administration's economic policy toolkit on goods, but tariffs in their current form, at least, don't extend to services. Maybe one silver lining to this bill being introduced is a sense, at least on the Hill, that the administration wouldn't be able to impose a tariff equivalent on services without legislation. One of the ways that Senator Moreno has messaged this bill is describing it as a tariff on services, and it suggests that, at least in Congress's view, legislation would be necessary to get to that result. I think it's also worth thinking about this in the bigger context, as Jen mentioned, of Congress's attitude toward the location of employment. There's a long history of bills that have dealt with incentives for outsourcing, bill proposals. Those haven't been enacted into law. For example, there was a Democratic proposal for many years, the Bring Jobs Home Act, that would provide a tax credit for bringing jobs back to the U.S., coupled with a denial of deductions for outsourcing expenses. This is a different mechanism, but it is a similar theme. And so this has been a longtime concern on the Hill from both parties.
But if the point is to bring jobs back, I guess my question is, how realistic is that? Because there's this other thing that absolutely nobody seems to be talking about. So I'll just say it anyway. It's called AI, right? Which doesn't this just accelerate the inevitability of these jobs being, many of them anyway, being taken over by AI? Are these jobs coming back because we've got an excise tax? Or maybe Congress is okay with AI? Is that where we're headed, Dan, an acceleration of this adoption of new technology?
There are a lot of different factors that go into deciding where to locate certain activities, and tax might be one piece of that puzzle, but even with this large excise tax, it's not clear that it would be practical to change the location of activities from abroad to the United States.
There is an understanding on the Hill after initially there was kind of a pushback to try to what they used to call stop the bleed of jobs overseas. And now I think there's just an acknowledgement that you may not be able to stop the bleed, but you've seen this theme in these bills that are released by Democrats and by Republicans, that to tilt the economic incentives, the analysis, the economics of a transaction when there are jobs, where there are people jobs, and the location of those jobs.
Fair point. All right, Jen, well, let's follow up with that then. So you told us that maybe we shouldn't absolutely panic, but we should take this seriously. So to help us think about then, how does this become law? When, how, what bill? Think ahead on that a little bit.
That is a good question. And that's step two. It's like the if then, if you do have a bill that's moving, then what are the circumstances where you could potentially see that bill moving? There are two options. One, it could be a partisan bill. That would be a reconciliation bill. Two would be a bipartisan bill. We've said that this seems to be kind of a bipartisan issue. It's just the way the parties go about executing that policy goal has been very different. We have not seen a Democratic counterpart to this HIRE Act in the way in which it does it with that gross basis tax. Its most likely option is a partisan bill, a Republican reconciliation bill, which we know the rules of reconciliation, Republicans have a trifecta. They can pass a reconciliation bill anytime between now and the end of the fiscal 26 year. So the fiscal year, which ends at the end of September 2026. So they have over a year opportunity. Whether or not that's the political opportunity, that's another question, but they have the option to pass a partisan bill through budget reconciliation anytime before the end of the 26th fiscal year. It's just a matter of, A, do they have the desire to pass a bill on a partisan basis? And B, is there enough that they want to pass in a bill? Are there the makings of a reconciliation bill? So far, we haven't seen the motivation, something to spur them to launch into a new reconciliation bill effort, but they have a lot of time. There's a lot of time between now and September 30th, 2026. A lot of things can change and you could potentially see a bill move.
Yep. Well, Dan, do you agree with the premise that Jen laid out that probably happens in a Republican-only reconciliation bill? Is this really something that Democrats would not support? Is it totally incomprehensible that this could be, for example, an Elizabeth Warren bill, not a Senator Moreno bill? What are your thoughts?
Trade politics scramble the parties a little bit. And so there have been Democratic bills, as I mentioned, with similar themes to this bill. I think it's unlikely that this bill would attract significant Democratic support in the current environment. In particular, the concerns about inflation related to tariffs are equally applicable and maybe even more so to a tax on services that impacts sales to customers in the United States. I think it's interesting thinking about how this bill could be included in reconciliation. We haven't yet seen a House member come out to sponsor a companion bill yet. We don't really know the breadth of support that the proposal has right now. And as Jen said, we don't know what the theme of the next reconciliation bill would be and how this might fit into it. It's unlikely that a reconciliation bill could carry or be centered around a proposal such as this one, but maybe it could be part of a broader package.
Fair point. And maybe you're right. Asking the question of whether or not Democrats would support it is the wrong question. The right question is, would Republicans support it? Who knows? And the answer today might look different after, as Jen suggests, K Street releases the hounds up to Capitol Hill to lobby against it. We'll just have to see. Fascinating topic. Definitely an issue we're going to be following over the course of this year. So thank you, Jen. Thank you, Dan.
In closing, let's just say this, if it's not obvious, that this excise tax feels a lot like a tariff. But instead of being on goods, it's on services. And for all practical purposes, it acts like a tariff. On the one hand, potentially closing the pricing gap between foreign services and domestic services. But also, like a tariff, it has the effect of, at least potentially, raising prices on the buyer. This proposal would obviously be a revenue raiser, so that money has to come from somewhere. There is no free lunch. Now, listen, it's a valid debate to how much of this cost could be absorbed overseas through pricing adjustments. That amount is likely more than zero, but it's also safe to say that the impact of the tax here in the U.S., it's probably also more than zero, which all goes back to the point we were making earlier. What exactly is the goal here? Is it to raise revenue or is it to bring jobs home? Because it's hard to do both well at the same time. If the overseas service provider can absorb most of the costs, well, then the bill is a revenue raiser, but a relatively painless one, but it also probably doesn't bring many jobs back to the U.S. If most of the costs are absorbed here, well, then the provision won't directly raise that much, but it could force a lot of outsourced jobs into the U.S. Of course, there is one more option. And that is that neither of these things would happen. It's the other thing we mentioned could happen. The jobs could get eliminated and AI could simply take over. It sure feels like that's where things are headed sooner or later anyway, doesn't it? So forget higher. Maybe in the long run, the bill would be more aptly named the AI Acceleration Act of 2025. With that, thanks for listening. We'll be back with another episode. But until then, take care, and I hope to see you soon.